In Malachi 2:2, God says to disobedient priests, "I will curse your blessings." In this video, we will cover, among other things, how this verse prophetically applies to what anti-Pope Francis just did.
Pope Francis has granted formal approval for priests to bless same-sex couples.
We will also consider how one of the greatest popes in Catholic history providentially cited this verse of scripture in the specific context of upholding the Catholic Church's teaching that those who manifest disobedience must not be given blessings. Before we get to that, here's what happened. On December 18, 2023, one of the most significant events in world history occurred. Anti-Pope Francis, the man who falsely purports to be the Pope and leader of the Catholic Church, formally approved the Declaration Fiducia Supplicans, which allows same-sex couples to be given, quote, blessings in the Vatican II sect. This is an apocalyptic event.
There's no way to sugarcoat this or pope-splain it. This is a watershed moment.
The extraordinary significance of this event is obvious to those who understand what God's revelation tells us about homosexual activity. While we, of course, hope for the conversion of those who engage in it, homosexual activity is condemned by God and the Catholic Church as mortally sinful and one of the sins that cries to heaven. In this video, I want to cover some very important information on this matter. For those who don't know, the Vatican II sect that's operating under Anti-Pope Francis is not the Catholic Church. It's the prophesied end times counter-church, the Whore of Babylon, as our material explains. Before we get into some of the key principles here, note that on October 2nd, 2023, just a few months ago, Anti-Pope Francis's July 11th responses to certain dubia or doubts were made public. One of the questions concerned blessings for same-sex unions. Francis's response to that question, which was made public in October, opened the door to blessing same-sex unions because it failed to say that doing so is forbidden. In fact, the response allowed each so-called pastor to decide whether a blessing should be given. We covered that in a short video in early October. We told people the truth and honestly reported the facts. However, in response, various liars and heretical anti-pope splainers said, "No, no, no, Francis allowed no such thing, and anyone who claims that he did is bearing false witness." In fact, this demonic anti-pope splainer, who is really just a mouthpiece of Satan, claimed at the time that the response of Francis, which was made public in early October, merely allowed blessing individuals, not blessing same-sex couples. In October and November of 2023, before Fiducia Supplicans came out in December, this heretic was opposed to blessings for same-sex couples.
I would just simply submit that any blessing in public of one or more persons, especially if it's two people in public, is going to blur those lines. So if this is going to be done, it needs to be done to an individual, not to a couple, to avoid that that confusion and blurring of lines.
Back in October, he admitted that blessing a same-sex couple would be an approval of same-sex activity, which is obvious. Around that time, he also admitted that blessing same-sex couples is what the radical German so-called bishops were doing, which he considered to be contrary to Catholic teaching.
And now, this German bishop issues a letter on last Thursday asking pastors in his diocese to bless same-sex couples. So this bishop in Germany, Bishop Karl Heinz Weissmann of Speyer, Germany, is the one who is part of this discussion. He's the one who is given the green light to this.
That was before that mouthpiece of Satan and others like him realized that Anti-Pope Francis would go on to formally and specifically approve blessings for same-sex couples, which Anti-Pope Francis did in Fiducia Supplicans in December. When that happened in December, they then changed their argument and shamefully began to defend, quote, blessings for same-sex couples.
But he goes as far as possible to offer blessings to same-sex couples without compromising the faith.
So they were ensnared by their own dishonest words from just a few months ago. Proverbs 12:13, an evil man is ensnared by the transgression of his lips. Following the publication of Fiducia Supplicans in December, there is now no dispute that Anti-Pope Francis has formally approved, quote, blessings for same-sex couples.
I read a section that did make it seem like the couple can be blessed.
It says it explicitly.
In the document, which I've read carefully, couples are referred to repeatedly. In number 31, it states, quote, "Within the horizon outlined here appears the possibility of blessings for couples in irregular situations and for couples of the same sex, the form of which should not be fixed ritually by ecclesial authorities to avoid producing confusion with the blessing proper to the sacrament of marriage," end quote. As we can see, Anti-Pope Francis formally approves blessings for couples of the same sex. Therefore, Francis officially teaches that two guys in a sodomitic relationship or two women in a same-sex relationship can be blessed together by a, quote, priest. That's an astounding abomination. Francis's declaration is so outrageous that even many Novus Ordo, quote, bishops, who typically accept all kinds of heresy and false ecumenism, are protesting against it.
African Catholic bishops are rejecting the Pope's stance when it comes to same-sex relationships. The pushback against Pope Francis has been extraordinary. Some Catholic bishops in Africa and Poland say they will not implement the new Vatican policy allowing blessings for same-sex couples.
This widespread division among the so-called bishops of the Vatican II sect on a basic moral issue proves that it's not the Catholic Church. It lacks the Catholic Church's mark of unity.
The head of the Austria Bishops' Conference actually said, because he was asked, will priests now be forced to do this? And he says, well, in liturgical setting, must is always odd. What I can say is that they just can't say no. Whoa, what are you saying there? And various German bishops, of course, where we all knew they've been chomping at the bit for exactly this, are now all sorts of happy. One of them said this is a Christmas present for him. That was the Bishop of Hamburg, Hesse.
And let me tell you, I have been reading the blogs about what they're saying about this decision. While the gay blogs are very excited about this decision.
Antipope Francis's declaration also approves, quote, blessings for couples living in adultery and fornication, which is also an abomination. That the couples whom he allows to be blessed include couples involved in same-sex activity is beyond dispute. Even the most radical antipope splainers now acknowledge this fact. That's why they are now arguing that what's being blessed is not the union of the sodomites, but merely the couple or the persons of the couple. That's fallacious and preposterous nonsense, as we will see. The term couple signifies the two in relation to one another. Hence, if the couple is being blessed, the forbidden relationship slash union is being blessed. That's simple and obvious to anyone of goodwill. As a Novus Ordo, quote, priest pointed out by giving the example of an incestuous union.
Next time two people who are involved in an incestuous relationship come in and say, Father, would you bless us? You know, we're brother and sister, but we think sex is beyond the strictures that used to be. Is a priest supposed to say, well, if you feel it's important, maybe I should bless you? Of course not. Everybody would know that's endorsing incest.
Also, paragraph number 31 refers to enriching, elevating, and the growth of their relationships. It uses the word relationships twice in this context. That further demonstrates that blessing the couple is intimately connected to blessing the relationship. Moreover, a sodomitic relationship cannot grow or be elevated or enriched. The only positive thing that can happen to it is that it end. Now, the blind and dishonest defenders of Antipope Francis will point out that the document says that these blessings are not to be considered marriage blessings, liturgical blessings, or have a set ritual, and that marriage is only between one man and one woman. All of that is meaningless. The Anglican sect, for instance, formally allows, quote, blessings of same-sex couples, but it doesn't allow them to call it a marriage. Even though they don't call it marriage, their practice is still heretical and blasphemous, for it signifies that sodomy can be approved by God and that it's not a mortal sin. Further, the fact that Fiducia Supplicans says that no set ritual should be used for the, quote, blessings, and that they aren't to be considered liturgical, is likewise meaningless. To allow a, quote, priestly blessing of a sodomitic couple is to permit a formal ecclesiastical act that signifies the approval of sodomy, even if you claim it's not liturgical. As a Novus Ordo, quote, priest admitted on this matter.
And this basically says there's a difference between a liturgical blessing and a non-liturgical blessing.
Right.
This is ridiculous. Every blessing in the church, it comes from the fact that God blessed us in Jesus Christ. And we primarily in the church, as a hierarchical organization, bring those blessings through public ministries.
Moreover, the statement in number 39 that the blessing is not to be performed with clothing and gestures proper to a wedding, rather than contributing to the document's orthodoxy, further confirms its heterodoxy. For the inclusion of such a stipulation reveals that the authors and Antipope Francis know very well that blessing a same-sex couple signifies an approval of the relationship. Otherwise, there would be no need to warn against using wedding clothes. Defenders of the antipope will also point to number 5 of the document, which states that the church does not have the power to impart blessings on unions of persons of the same sex. But that statement is meaningless because, one, in context, the statement is really about marital unions, and no one is claiming the document calls same-sex relationships marital unions. And two, as we've pointed out repeatedly, heretics typically contradict themselves. The Catholic Church teaches that when heretics inculcate heresies or promote false doctrines, yet employ ambiguity or contradictions in the process, they are to be held to the heretical meaning. Here's what Pope Pius VI officially taught on this matter in his 1794 papal bull, Auctorum Fidei. Quote, "It is a most reprehensible technique for the insinuation of doctrinal errors, and one condemned long ago by our predecessor Saint Celestine, who found it used in the writings of Nestorius, Bishop of Constantinople, and which he exposed in order to condemn it with the greatest possible severity. Once these texts were examined carefully, the impostor was exposed and confounded, for he expressed himself in a plethora of words, mixing true things with others that were obscure, mixing at times one with the other in such a way that he was also able to confess those things which were denied, while at the same time possessing a basis for denying those very sentences which he confessed. In order to expose such snares, something which becomes necessary with a certain frequency in every century, no other method is required than the following. Whenever it becomes necessary to expose statements which disguise some suspected error or danger under the veil of ambiguity, one must denounce the perverse meaning under which the error opposed to Catholic truth is camouflaged." End quote. This applies precisely to the Vatican II sect and Fiducia Supplicans. It doesn't matter that the document claims to uphold Catholic teaching on marriage when the same document approves, quote, blessings for couples in abominable and forbidden relationships. The very act of giving such, quote, blessings to such couples is a message that their activity is not condemned and mortally sinful, but actually accepted and approved by God. Make no mistake about it, the goal of Antipope Francis, Fernandez, etc. with this document was to introduce sodomites into regular aspects of church life and to approve same-sex activity under the appearance of not contradicting Catholic teaching on marriage. That's why number 25 of the document discourages priests from engaging in a moral analysis as a precondition of conferring the blessing. They don't want people to require homosexuals to give up their sinful lifestyle. That's also why Francis does not condemn, but rather approves, pro, quote, LGBT activists such as James Martin. Indeed, after Fiducia Supplicans came out, James Martin used it to confer a, quote, blessing on two homosexuals who claimed to be married. They held hands during the event. The Vatican knows about these kinds of actions, yet does not stop them. That's because Antipope Francis approves them. End of debate. So why would Antipope Francis and the Vatican II sect want to approve sodomy and same-sex activity by introducing this nefarious, quote, blessing practice via a formal declaration, while deceptively claiming to uphold Catholic teaching on marriage? It's because what we're seeing now is the fulfillment of apocalyptic prophecy about the beast slash pagan Rome returning in the last days under the appearance of the church. In the last days, we are not seeing pagan Rome right in your face. Rather, we are seeing pagan Rome returned, but under the guise or the appearance of the church by means of a counter-church and false successors of St. Peter. That's what the prophecy in the Apocalypse is about, as our material covers. Hence, St. John wondered great wonder when he saw the Whore of Babylon, as our material explains. Since the prophecy is about pagan Rome returning under the appearance or guise of the church, the heretical leaders of the Whore of Babylon will typically try to veil their heresies in some Catholic terminology, as well as contradictions and ambiguity, while they promote an anti-Christian and wicked agenda. We cover this in detail in our videos. It really explains all of what's happening in Rome now. See the videos Apocalypse Now in the Vatican, The Temple of God and the Antichrist Located, and the Antichrist Distinguishing Mark, among others. Apocalypse 17 also states that when people who are not written in the Book of Life see what's happening, they will wonder, which means that they will be shocked, confused, and amazed. We've seen the fulfillment of that prophecy over and over again from followers of the Vatican II counter-church in recent years. Now, there's another huge aspect of this issue that defenders and even many critics of Fiducia Supplicans are missing. That is, even if you argue, as the anti-pope splainers do, that what Antipope Francis approved is not blessing the homosexual union itself, but rather the homosexual persons in the union.
So we are talking about the blessing of persons of the couple, not of the union itself. Not of the couple's union, but of the persons within the couple.
Your position is, first of all, a lie, as we've shown, because Francis approved blessing the couple, and the couple signifies the homosexual relationship slash union. But secondly, you're missing another key point, which is that it's immoral to bless even just the homosexual persons who manifest that they are part of a homosexual couple. Let me repeat that. Such persons must not be blessed. This point has been overlooked by almost everyone who has commented on Fiducia Supplicans, even its critics. Many of them will say things like, any person may receive a blessing, but the couple must not be blessed.
I don't have a problem with blessing any individual on earth. I don't care if they're in Hamas or whatever. Like, if they want a priest to bless them, like, let's give some grace to that person. So no matter who you're attracted to, we all need blessings from God to live out the Christian life. Amen?
No, they are granting too much. The church does not teach that any person in any situation may be blessed, and I want to cite papal authority on this matter. I've read all 9 books of Pope St. Gregory VII's register, as well as what are called his wandering epistles. St. Gregory VII was one of the greatest popes in church history. In his letters, he repeatedly indicates that he will not give blessings to people who manifest disobedience. He indicates that he's unable to do so, lest he violate God's law. Before quoting him, I want to make a distinction. When a context is good, such as at a true mass or when Catholics are on a pilgrimage, or in a similar context, a priest could justifiably bless a group of people, not knowing the personal actions each person of the group engages in at other times, because in the context in which the blessing is conferred, there's no manifestation of disobedience or connection to grave sin. But in a context in which a person is sinning gravely or manifesting grave disobedience to the church or the law of God, such as when 2 people identify as part of a gay couple, it's absolutely forbidden and gravely sinful to give such a person or persons a blessing. Blessing the person or persons in that situation signifies that that person or those persons are capable of sanctification or God's favor while engaging in grave disobedience to God. Hence, such persons must not be blessed. This should be obvious. We also find this principle applied in the Rule of St. Benedict, chapter 25, by the way, quote, a brother guilty of a serious fault should not be blessed by anyone passing by, end quote. But here are some quotes from Pope St. Gregory VII which further illustrate the Catholic principle that gravely disobedient persons are not to be blessed. The final quote is particularly interesting and I believe prophetic. Pope St. Gregory VII to the clerks of Romans, March 21st, 1077, quote, as sacred authority demands, we have omitted to send you greeting and apostolic blessing, as is customary on account of the excommunication that you have not feared to incur for your offenses, end quote. Here the Pope says that sacred authority doesn't allow him to give an apostolic blessing to the excommunicated. This applies not just to the excommunicated, as we will see, but to anyone, including a member of the faithful, who manifests grave disobedience. Pope St. Gregory VII to Bishop Hubert, late 1080. Greeting an apostolic blessing if he does not knowingly resist the decrees of the apostolic see, end quote. Notice, one must be obedient to receive the blessing. Pope St. Gregory VII to the clergy and people of a church in France, 1082. To the clergy and people of the church, and especially to the excellent Count Robert, greeting an apostolic blessing if they are obedient, end quote. Notice again, those who are disobedient are not blessed. Pope St. Gregory VII to the canons of St. Martin, quote, because we have heard that you have not obeyed our legates and your archbishop, but rather have driven the archbishop out, and because we have learned that for your fault you have been excommunicated by them, we have not dared to send you our greeting and apostolic blessing, end quote. Pope St. Gregory VII to King Henry IV, 1075, if this report is so, you yourself know that you can receive the grace of neither a divine nor an apostolic benediction blessing unless those who have been excommunicated have been banished from you and constrained to do penance. And you have first received absolution and pardon for your transgression with appropriate sorrow and satisfaction. End quote. We could quote other passages from the same Pope, but consider this one in particular. It's prophetic. Pope St. Gregory VII to the faithful of Italy and Germany, 1079, quote, Gregory Bishop, servant of the servants of God, to all who show due obedience to St. Peter, throughout the whole kingdom of Italy and of Germany, greeting and apostolic blessing. As for priests, deacons, and subdeacons who are guilty of the crime of fornication, on behalf of Almighty God and by the authority of St. Peter, we forbid them entry into the church until they repent and amend their ways. Should any prefer to remain in their sin, let none of you dare to hear their offices, for their blessing is made a curse and their prayer a sin, as the Lord testifies through the prophet who says, I will curse your blessings, Malachi 2:2, end quote. This is fascinating. Pope St. Gregory VII cites Malachi 2:2 about God cursing blessings that are offered by people who are implicated in fornication or sexual sins. That, of course, applies directly and I believe prophetically to Antipope Francis's declaration Fiducia Supplicans, which specifically allows people living in fornication and adultery, that is, couples in irregular situations, as well as same-sex, quote, couples, to be blessed. Those, quote, priests thereby become implicated by way of approval in the crime of fornication and sexual sins, and thus their, quote, blessings become curses, exactly as Pope St. Gregory VII said, citing the prophet Malachi. So where is the true Catholic Church and a true Pope speaking with the voice of St. Peter to defend the Christian faith? Absolutely excludes those who are manifestly implicated in fornication from blessings and sends them away until they repent and amend their lives and are willing to confess. The apocalyptic Vatican II counterchurch does the opposite. It gives people who are implicated in fornication and adultery, and what's even worse, homosexual activity and unnatural acts, blessings. Those, quote, blessings of the Vatican II counterchurch thus become curses, as Malachi said. Also notice that this letter of Pope St. Gregory VII was addressed to the faithful of Italy and Germany. I don't believe that's just a coincidence. I believe it was providential and prophetic, for in which two countries are the, quote, blessings of same-sex couples, as well as those living in adultery and fornication, most notorious? The answer is in Italy and Germany. They have been most notorious in Germany, of course, as a consequence of what their fake bishops have been doing for some time in that regard.
Turning to Germany, the country's top bishop is explicitly condoning sexual sin. Limburg's Bishop Georg Betzing, president of the German Bishops' Conference, published a so-called sex education guide last week, promoting the blessing of homosexual couples.
Now they are even more notorious in Italy because anti-Pope Francis, the current leader of the apocalyptic Whore of Babylon, has just formally approved them in Rome, Italy, for the entire counterchurch. Pope St. Gregory VII's citation of Malachi 2:2 in this context was also prophetic. Although God's statement in Malachi 2:2, "I will curse your blessings," applied to that period of the Old Testament, I believe it applies even more profoundly to what anti-Pope Francis just did in front of the entire world and to this apocalyptic period. Malachi is the last of the 12 minor prophets of the Old Testament. He represents, in some ways, the end of a covenant. The final chapter of his book also foretells the end of the world. Malachi 4:1, "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble." In chapter 2 of this prophetic book, God addresses priests who have violated the covenant by disobedience and profaned the sanctuary by idolatry and abominations. The Vatican II sect and its false priests have done precisely that in the New Covenant period. In Malachi 2, God tells those priests who have violated the covenant and profaned the sanctuary, "I will curse your blessings." And now the entire world is hearing about anti-Pope Francis's approval of, quote, blessings for same-sex couples, as well as those living in fornication and adultery, an abomination in God's sight, which can only bring about a major curse. The connection is striking. While no man knows the day or the hour, of course, I believe that anti-Pope Francis's approval of this abomination is a major apocalyptic sign. Anti-Pope Francis has now formally approved a pseudo-ecclesiastical act to be performed by, quote, priests that mocks marriage and attempts to justify an abominable sin that cries to heaven. Will this be one of the final things that calls down God's physically destructive wrath? It's absolutely impossible for a man who approves what Francis did to be the Pope. It's impossible for such a person to be a Catholic, let alone the successor of St. Peter in the apostolic faith. Francis is certainly not the Pope. Those who continue to recognize Francis as the Pope in the face of these facts contradict Catholic teaching and actually blaspheme what God instituted in St. Peter. I want to end this video by playing a few clips from heretical defenders of the Vatican II counterchurch who are actually defending anti-Pope Francis's outrageous declaration Fiducia Supplicans. Many of them have also lied about these issues and related matters. Mark these people, recognize them not only as enemies of the true Catholic Church who have abandoned the true Catholic faith, but have now caved on a basic matter of morality and the natural law. These heretics who are defending Fiducia Supplicans think it's orthodox to have a sodomite couple, quote, blessed by a, quote, priest. They receive not the love of the truth. Despite a mountain of evidence, they refuse to see that the Vatican II sect is not the Catholic Church, it's the prophesied end times counterchurch. Their misguided allegiance to apostate Vatican II antipopes has taken them to a very dark place. They now defend an attempt to justify a pseudo-ecclesiastical act which represents the formal approval of abominable perversions and unnatural sins. Notice the profound delusion of this first heretic, who diabolically claims that Francis's document is beautiful, everything they ever wanted, and represents perfect clarity. Such people are under the control of Satan.
Literally, the document is so beautiful and so well written. I mean, Pope Francis has received a lot of criticism, and sometimes rightly so, for being ambiguous, confusing, and not clarifying certain things, but this document is not that. It's literally the opposite in everything we've ever wanted. Perfect clarity.
I read a section that did make it seem like the couple can be blessed.
It says it explicitly.
Do you think Pope Francis is lowering the bar?
In a doctrinal way.
I read the document, paragraph by paragraph, line by line, word by word. I even paid attention to some of the punctuation. And to me, what's written here is excellent.
The document is orthodox in principle.
Well, isn't that exactly what the Pope did with Fiducia Supplicans? He upholds the traditional faith, but he goes as far as possible to offer blessings to same-sex couples without compromising the faith.
To be a true Catholic and be saved, one must be a traditional Catholic, as our material explains.